Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. The Reverend Dr. John Sias is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading from St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it mean, as the lawyer does here, to put Jesus to the test? One almost thinks in this exchange that finally the Pharisees have decided maybe to give Jesus another shot, at least as the more effective enemy of my enemy sort of friend. He has just silenced the Sadducees, after all, who apparently had not shut up before, about there being no resurrection, no reward but their present riches. Pity to be you, poor saps, but pay your temple tax. That was their act. But not the whole gaggle of Pharisees who had just before plotted to arrest Jesus or to entangle him in his words, but one of them, a lawyer, now puts Jesus to the test. Maybe the gaggle put him up to it, or maybe he breaks from the ranks, personally interested. Text doesn't tell us. Maybe the question is a trap, but even if it is, it has a reason and a purpose. It conveys, like any question, an impression. And it's a question the Lord finds worth answering. "Teacher," he says, "which is the great commandment in the law?" Well, this lawyer, as he is trained to have, has a pretty good question. What takes precedence over what? For the priest or Levite going down the Jericho road, is the half-dead man worth the risk of polluting his holiness, perhaps frustrating his important mission from God? Or is the neighbor a temptation to put man over God, a chance for him to feel like a savior instead of serving the one who is? Well, we naturally think of the first commandment, Moses and Luther, even Jesus here in the text helping us to, as of course the big one. But is it not tempting to put that above all else, not for God's purposes, but for your own? When your sheep or donkey goes down the well on the Sabbath, or is it your neighbor's, what then? Sometimes it's nice to have an excuse. We know, for our part, pretty well from the law what must not be done. Of course, and yet, what do we do? But even when we're following the law's instruction to do what we must do, it's far more than we can. The law confronts us with unmanageable conflicts, with more demands that can be met at once, or even at all. There is an honest lawyer's question here. What then takes precedence over what? What can I do to optimize God's pleasure? To always reliably choose the lesser evil if there has to be one? To always maximize the good? If there is a great commandment, then perhaps there's greater and less on down. If the law can be divided, ranked, numbered, And perhaps what can be divided can be conquered, and our choice is, at least to some extent, justified. Well, our Lord's answer is otherwise. He sums the law up as whole in two parts, the one like unto the other, inseparable, indivisible, and unconquerable. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, the great and first commandment. But the second, he says, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, not on the one, Jesus says, hang all the law and the prophets. Well, his answer is right, of course. Another Pharisee in another gospel knows it already. He's near to the kingdom of God, wrestling with how he could possibly justify himself with this knowledge, this terrible twofold commandment, hence the Jericho Road story. When Jesus ends that episode, go and do likewise, leaving that guy to wrestle a little bit more. But here, as he has done earlier in this 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, with the wedding feast of the king's son and the wedding garment, with the coin and rendering to God what is God's, that is, glory to Jesus, the image and likeness of God in the flesh, here he is more straightforward, more direct. He loves the lawyer, loves his crowd. And so he has a question for him, for them, not about laws, but about the Christ. This is outreach, evangelism, calling by the gospel. Whose son is he? He says. David's, these Pharisees say. But what a narrow reading. What a small world. They hear Christ, they see another shot at king and country, space in which to justify themselves again. Something like the Sadducees, whom they hated, who said there was no hereafter. Somewhat like them, Pharisees look for a Savior who is the son of David only, not the son of God. The Scripture has it otherwise. Just as I suspect the lawyer's question might be genuine, I know that Jesus' follow-up question is, and is not a non sequitur. It's not intended to silence the crowds, not intended simply to show him as Smarty McSmarty Pants, even though the outcome, sadly, is that no one dares anymore to ask him any questions. But the question is to lay before the lawyer and all who are flummoxed at how to justify themselves under the law that which does justify, namely, the death of the Son of God for sinners, and faith in that death, in that Son of God, and the forgiveness of sins, faith that trusts that this is enough, that this is all the law demands or ever will. Full stop. The Christ, the Son of God, as well as the Son of David. The end, the point, the telos of the law for all who believe, to forgive all sin, to raise the dead. The question points at that. Looks for understanding. And it's a good question at the right time, because the law has got you. Admit it. You will not divide. You will not conquer. Not just the code of federal regulations, but the 10 words, or even worse, the 2. But the Christ, the Son of God, he has you too. Fulfilling the law on your behalf. Presenting in one act, in time, but for eternity, the absolute unity of these two commands that are alike. For in the one act, he perfectly fulfills the will of his Father, in the death that is the core and origin and object of all worship, while with the same dying breath, he loves every neighbor fully, absolutely, efficaciously, with the ineffable love. He does it not only as a son of a David or a Mary, to be an example, to make a point, but as the God-man, to be the atoning sacrifice, to pour out his infinite life as the ransom for the many, with all the law and the prophets hung on him to be hanged upon the tree. And as the Son of God, one sacrifice, infinite life, into death, one Lord, risen, ascended, glorified, all authority in heaven and on earth given to him, thence to issue for us the eternal gospel, thence to raise even the dead. That's all a little unclear yet here in Matthew 22. It's yet to come. And the silence that follows Jesus' stunning answer, which is not yet understood in all its fullness because this has not been seen, is expected, maybe even appropriate. But now this is accomplished. The test of what sort of Christ this would be, Son of David, Son of God, that test is concluded, and we know. Our Lord now is beyond trapping in a snare or catching in his words. But let us not be afraid, dear Christian friends, honestly to put him and his word to a good sort of test in these days. Let us prove him worthy and true, putting him on, living by faith. And let us not be silent anymore, for the time for silence is past about who this Christ is, the Son of David, the Son of God, whom to love with heart and soul and strength and mind is to love your neighbor as yourself. For after all, for this reason, the Father even loves the Son, that he lays down his life to take it up again. Shall we who believe in him not therefore love and lay down the same? And that, my friends, is a new life ready to live today for joy. And something that if we do it will raise questions, good ones, pointing to life until he comes again. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.